God is faithful even when you're not. Let's talk about it on Key Life. That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a program designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Now get your Bible, and let's study together. Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, we're looking at the Book of Lamentations, which was written by Jeremiah, although there is a bit of controversy about who wrote it. But I know, because Jeremiah is a friend of mine, he wrote this, as well as the book of Jeremiah, in almost all of it. And we're looking at Lamentations. We spent last week just introducing the book, and I'm talking about some of the major themes that are a part of the book of Lamentations. And the first thing we saw, we talked about this yesterday, is God's power and control over all the bad stuff that's going on. And dear friend, a lot of bad stuff is going on. Lamentations 2, 1 through 5, 2, 16 through 17. And I'm not suggesting that God is mean and loves to abuse his children. That's not true. But I do believe that underneath all of the bad stuff through which we go, and I believe the Bible teaches this not just once or twice or 10 times, but on almost every page of the Bible, that God is in charge and that Romans 8:28 is true. And let me give you another theme, a major theme in the book of Lamentations. Though not only the theme of God's power, but throughout the book of Lamentations, you'll see a reference to God's faithfulness. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to the third chapter of Lamentations. And I want to read verses 19, and I'm not sure where I'm going to stop, around maybe 36, maybe not that much. But listen. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now you got to remember all the bad stuff that's happening. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth to the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause. The Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass? When the Lord has not commanded it, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? But note, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, given everything that I taught you about the book of Lamentations, if I had asked you where we got the hymn that all of us have sung, Great is thy faithfulness, where would you think it would come from? I'll bet, if you've been listening to what I've been teaching, that you would never in your wildest imagination that we got that from the book of Lamentations. But that's true. Let me tell you something. I don't like bad stuff. I really don't. Because I teach so much. I mean, we spent all those weeks talking about when your rope breaks and the pain and suffering we go through. People think, Steve, you're neurotic. That's all you talk about. Well, I am neurotic, but I'm more than that. I don't like bad stuff in my life, and I don't like it when it happens to you. But listen to me. It's in those places where you see God's faithfulness. It's in those places where you learn to know for sure that he's God. It's in those places where you see his hand. It's in those places where he reaches down and he touches you in ways that you never would have dreamed. We get thousands of letters here at Key Life, and the staff will sometimes pass some of them along to me. I get to read a lot of them. And I can't tell you the thousands of times that I've read from you guys about the tough things you're going through and how in the midst of that, God is faithful. And you say, well, of course he's faithful. I'm a good person. What are you, a fruitcake or something? Something wrong with you? The point of this whole passage that I just read to you is that they were in Babylonia because they deserved to be in Babylonia. And if they'd gotten all they deserved, they'd all been dead. So I get these letters and I read people talk about God's faithfulness when I didn't deserve it. Aren't you glad that God is faithful when you're not? Aren't you glad that he forgives you when you don't deserve it? Aren't you glad that he gives you mercy when you've done nothing to earn it? Aren't you glad that he's kind when you're not? That he's loving when you're not? That he's merciful when you're not? God is faithful in our lives, and he's faithful even when we're not. I think that's so good. And you say, wait. When you say things like that, you're giving us permission not to be faithful. We can go out and sin, and God will still be faithful to us. No, I'm not. Because if you belong to him, you know what I'm talking about. And you know that when you're faithful, it's in response to his faithfulness when you didn't deserve it. You know that when you're obedient, it's response to his forgiveness when you were disobedient. You know that when you learn to love other people, it's in response to a God who loved you when you were unlovely. And so as you read through this book, written by Jeremiah, the Book of Lamentations, it's important to see that throughout this book, you see God's faithfulness to a bunch. Well, it's not anti-Semitic to say what God said and what the rabbis thought. This was a stiff-necked bunch of people, disobedient, rebellious, making fun of God's servants, his prophets, and yet even in the midst of the pain that they suffer, that they deserve, God is faithful. And we're going to see as we get into the prophets and as we get into this book and look into the future that his faithfulness included bringing his ancient people back home. Is that cool or what? I remember, and I know I've talked about this a lot, probably a lot more than I should have, but when we went through the Hurricane Andrew and our house was destroyed and it was just awful. I mean, it was so awful, I can't tell you. Do you know that all the people that went through that, the Christians in our neighborhood, went out and stood in the street, and we joined hands and we prayed. We said, God, we don't understand this, but we want you to come, and we want you to make us more faithful because of it. And you know, he came. He came. I knew he'd come because I had an atheist neighbor. Came running out when the Christians were standing in the street. Now, you got to remember, we didn't have any power. We didn't have any. We didn't have anything. I mean, our house had been blown away. God took a lawnmower and just mowed it down. And there had been this guy living next door who was an atheist. I've been praying for him a long time. He came out and saw us standing there. You know what he said? Hey, guys, you know what I did last night? He said, I prayed. Prayed all night. When you get scared enough, an atheist will pray. But enough about that. The second theme that you find throughout the Book of Lamentations is the theme of God's faithfulness. And we, in fact, get our hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, from the text that I just read to you. Now, let me give you another theme that you find in the Book of Lamentations. I want you to note not only God's power, his faithfulness. I want you to look at God's leaders. If you've got your Bible, turn to the second chapter of Lamentations. And I'm doing that even as we speak. The second chapter in the sixth verse, listen to this. He has done violence to his tabernacle as if we were a garden. He has destroyed his place of assembly. The Lord has caused the appointed feast and Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion. In his burning indignation, he has spurned the king and the priest. Now look down in that same chapter at the 14th and 15th verse. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Now, what does that say to you? It says to you, well, a couple of things. First, that leadership is very important. When God does anything, he does not call a committee, a group of the incompetent to do the unnecessary. When God does something, he calls a man or a woman, and maybe you're that man or that woman. God leads through leaders. And I have a high view of leaders. I'll tell you something. I love my pastor. And if he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because he is my pastor. And then there's one other theme here, and I'll say a little bit more about it tomorrow. But let me at least mention it before I go. People have leaders that they deserve. You hear a lot of time in political campaigns, you better get rid of that immoral, that bad leader, or God will judge our nation. Let me tell you something. Biblically, it could be that that leader is the judgment. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you haven't written for the book that we're offering, Is It Really God? I'd love to send it to you. This is a book that'll keep you from worshiping idols. What is God really like? If you're looking for God, if you're not a believer, you'll like it. If you're a mature believer, want to make sure that the God you worship is not an idol, but a true God, you'll like this booklet too. Might want to send it to a friend. We'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. The number is 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And don't you dare not like or call for this booklet because you can't afford to send a contribution. But do pray about it, and if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. Only a very small percentage of people who benefit by this ministry are able to help us financially. So when you help us, you help them, and I promise we'll be faithful with your gifts. You can charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope. For any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching how to know that you know him. If you're struggling with assurance, you'll find this helpful. Be sure and give us the call letters at the station when you write or call, and Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.